Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I feel like this is the sickest Ween Wednesday yet.
I would think that it is, yeah.
Boy, a week from tomorrow, we're at Hot Shots, sponsor of Email of the Day, for TMA Live and the Ryan Kelly Timber Fake weigh-in. And then a week from Friday, Jack. Yeah, all bets are off. You're right. It's going to be unbelievable because it's the Battle on Broadway. It's presented by Bud Select. And we are going to release 30 tickets. That's all we have, okay? 30 tickets. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow.
A lot of people want those.
I know.
It's sold out
quick. So I need to make sure I like say, okay, give people enough time.
Yeah, let's not be cavalier about it.
Right. So it's a week from Friday. It's the Battle on Broadway. Iggy and Larry Nickel will be on the call. It's Timberfake versus the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly. It's at the historic South Broadway Athletic Club. Doors open at 7 with the undercard amateur matches starting at 8. Tickets are currently sold out, but we will make 30 more, and that's it available. Hear the action live on 590 The Fan and InsideSTL.com as Iggy and Larry Nickel call the main event at approximately 10 p.m. It probably is going to be later. Ticket revenue will be donated to our charity partners, Friends of Kids with Cancer, Catherine Cares, and Three Little Birds for Life. The Battle on Broadway is presented by Bud Select, Auto House BMW, All-Star Trophy, Night Shift Bar and Grill, and DB's offering a free shuttle. And it's the home of the post-match party. What?
I saw the video of the two Stormy Combatants training yesterday.
How about the work that Nick, what up, y'all? Nick Yale,
yep.
Brendan Marks, and Hannah Ray Yates of the Inside STL news team did, both with Ryan Kelly. They're up on InsideSTL.com. I posted them on Twitter and on the TMA fan page on Facebook. And if you're not a member yet, why why aren't you? Just type in TMA. What? Well, the cat's not a Facebook guy.
No. Right.
TMA fan page on Facebook. And you can be a member. And I drop by and I'll let you talk to me every once in a while.
Wow.
Yeah. That happens.
Not much, though.
Right. But we have audio. I really think the star of this fight now is really no longer Timberfaker Ryan Kelly. It's Timberfake's trainer, Dave Jackson. Here is Doug, a small taste of highlights from Timberfake's 24/7 presented by the Inside STL news team.
Does he drive me insane? Yeah. But he hasn't complained one time. He's been called a lot of names, and that's just the way I do it.
The South City boy, man. I grew up on the fan page. I got all these people talking about me.
Grew up on the fan page.
I can't even go have chicken wings with a friend today without fan pagers freaking out from having a beer 6 hours early. It's like I had one beer, you know? They have hot wings. And everybody's like, it's like TMZ, man. I can't even go out without people. It's just insane. It's like paparazzi, man. It's out of control. They love talking about me all day on there, all day long. I'm not scared of anyone. I mean, 98% of the people, probably 99.9% of the people on the fan page wouldn't do what I do. What I did with producer Joe already showed it, but you know, this is the big time. He's the home loan expert. He's the title sponsor of the show.
It is a big time.
He's, you know, I'm not scared of anybody. I'd fight Tim McKernan if he wanted to fight for whatever. It doesn't matter. I love you, Tim, but I'm just saying, I'm not scared of anyone. So bring it on. 5 days a week, I'm at the YMCA, and I still got time for my other sexy stuff. You know? No, not at all. Like, no, I'll probably come to the ring smoking a cigarette, to be honest. I mean, I'm not worried about it.
I'm a little bit concerned because, as you can tell, he's put on a couple, three pounds of hard, condensed muscle mass in 2 months. And so, you know, they're talking about Barry Bonds and the clearing of cream and, you know, I would be skeptical looking at him too, you know, and obviously he's sculpted, he's jacked up, cut like a mother, you know, so I would probably enforce drug testing if I was going against him.
Doug, rarely do you have the trainer accuse his own fighter of performance enhancing drugs, but damn it, it just happened.
Begging for a drug test. He's jacked up.
You know, I would be skeptical looking at him too, you know, and obviously he's sculpted, he's jacked up.
Is that satire?
I don't know. He's got to be in better shape than he was for as much as he worked out.
Dave Jackson posted on the fan pin that he was being sarcastic because he has gone from 141 pounds to 144.
Okay, good.
But I said to Ryan yesterday, I was texting him, and I said, hey, if you want, we'll get a drug test for you.
If I'm out of line, I'll apologize ahead of time to you, Tim, because I know this event is where you guys get into the black as an enterprise.
Right.
And you know what you're doing. But I'm a marketing guy.
Okay.
I went to Geneseo State.
I know that.
All right.
School of Lunch and Meats.
The Harvard of upstate New York.
The wrinkle of having one of the trainers accuse his own fighters of using PEDs is good. But I think what it's missing, and I'm sure Nick and the crew could put this on video, is if you have one of the combatants, and I would suggest Timberfake, give birth to a hand.
That's been done before.
Yeah, but everything old is new again. Uh-huh. Bring it back. You have Timberfake give, hey, he stopped training to give birth to a hand, and you get the video. I guarantee upwards of 15,000 to 20,000 views.
Holy moly cockatoli.
And that'll push you way into the black. Also, your Twitter followers.
Ooh, I'd like some likes and more Twitter followers.
You don't think it's enough of a selling point to have the trainer of one of the fighters beg the referee to drug test his
hand? No, it's great. It's great, but to me, that's not the end game. You need to add a wrinkle. See, one of the great movies, Electric Boogaloo 2,
right.
Disorderlies.
Oh, yeah, Fat Boys. Is that 85?
There's a plot twist that you think, okay, there's the plot twist, and then it's followed by another plot twist.
Right. Multiple levels. They did that in The Godfather when Carlo became Consigliere. Weezer typing in, Doug, also known as texting in. I'll fight anyone that wants to fight. Well, invite me, last time I checked. Of course, he has time to go out, even though he's training. He doesn't have a job.
This Weezer does not like us.
Weezer. Well, he thought he was going to get in the squared circle. Guys, is Ryan Kelly worried about contracting any bloodborne diseases at this fight? Butch McGuire. Hey, Tim, we're having a fight viewing party at the Shrewsbury City Center. We love you here. We'll even have our new Doug Sex Robot there. That's from the River to Pear Yacht Captain.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Guys, 5 days a week, he's at the YMCA. Where does he sleep the other two nights? It's from Brother Hebert, Vice President of Marketing for We Are Live. And, Doug, I'm going to have to give him the text of the day.
All right.
You would think if you had a...
Lion's Choice, roast beef sandwich, or Brother Hebert.
You'd think if you had a job to mix in with the training, then you might not have enough time to get to the sexy things that he does.
I think Brother Hebert just won two tickets to the Wine, Beer, and Whiskey Taste.
Oh, was it Lion's Choice today? Shows what I know. Yeah, two tickets to the Wine, Beer, and Whiskey Taste this Friday evening. That's $100 value. Wow.
That's nice.
Well done. Well-deserved, Brother Hebert, who's a patriot, I would tell you. Bunch of people now asking to join the Morning After fan page. It's the TMA fan page.
Read off a couple names, because that's like...
Emily Albertson, Doug. Looks like she's a Michigan law school grad. Last time we had somebody go to an esteemed university and go to law school, we kind of ran into...
Let me guess, it's a really pretty girl, and she just, for some reason, wants to join the fan page.
You know who she's friends with?
No.
Deke Dotem.
Of course, yeah. Probably is Deke Dotem.
Deke Dotem got blocked by Joel Osteen yesterday on Twitter.
Did he really?
Yeah.
It took long enough.
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
My goodness.
Was he tweeting nasty things at Joel Osteen?
Well, it depends.
It's a matter of opinion.
It depends on your perspective. Right. I would say maybe a little over the line.
What did he say?
Let me go to his timeline, baby.
I blocked him long ago.
You blocked me, too.
Yeah. Similar reasons.
A lot of pictures of himself at the airport. There's one of Janie the Lesbian. He tweeted at Joyce Meyer, can you pray for my boyfriend, Timmy Walters? I recently found out he was a post-op tranny. His lies and deceit have cut deep.
That got him blocked?
Not by her yet.
No, he's still in play with Joyce Myers.
She may still be praying.
I find her attractive, by the way.
Oh, you do not. Joyce Meyer, you do not.
Iggy, just back away from the mic on this one.
The thought of getting my magic wand into Bryce Chandler Hill's soiled denim pant and stimulating that crusty dump whistle makes my thighs melt.
That was he sent that as a tweet?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I could see where every preacher in the country would block you on that one.
Yeah, but that's Bryce Chandler Hill. That's the gentleman who allegedly slept with Jessica Simpson's dad.
Yeah.
So he had it coming.
Dotem enjoys trolling people who troll like me or you or whatever, and then firing his own, which usually they're a little older and have like an egg picture, or have an egg picture, I should say, as their avatar. And they probably have no idea what the hell hit them. I remember this one. This is like one of these bat crap LA Rams fans guys. I think I blocked him, but maybe I didn't. I don't know. I just remember it's a picture of Mel Gibson from Braveheart, but with his face painted blue and yellow, you know, in honor of the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
No.
And so Dotem tweeted at him, "Do you enjoy when the steamy hoof of a tranny makes its way into your jort and stimulates that crusty beef crack?"
Okay, that's enough, Dotem. See, this is why Dotem is suspended from this show indefinitely. That's vile. You don't say beef crack.
This one to the wonderful Bryce Chandler Hill. He's the gentleman who allegedly slept with Jessica Simpson's dad, also Ashley. "The thought of getting my musty hooves in Bryce Chandler's soiled velvet pant and flat stimulating that rewarding knot makes my loins cry."
No, it doesn't. Does he have anything else to do? Any other hobbies at all?
You know, people were critical of Edgar Allan Poe when he was writing his thoughts down.
And turned out to be pure genius.
Yes. So perhaps 500 years from now, we will look back on the work of Dotem on Twitter, and it'll be appreciated a little bit more than it is.
You might not enjoy the subject matter, and it's hard to say it's not maybe a little over the line, but boy, he writes well.
He so doesn't.
Give him his due. And also,
you think Dotem will ever drink bleach like Edgar Allan Poe?
Is that what he did?
Well, I don't think that's how he...
Watch this. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
Yeah.
Really good, Tim.
Thank you. "The thought of getting my sticky boy hand in Joel Osteen's crusted jort and flat stimulating that beef crevice makes my balloon nut shank wet." I think that got him blocked.
Don't say shank. Yeah, I would think that got him blocked.
That's a wordsmith there.
It isn't a wordsmith. It's a vile person who's been suspended indefinitely. And now his pros are creeping back into this program.
"Tim, you blocked me from the fan page, so I can't see anything anymore. No clue what I did. I'm not vile. Thanks, Bob, South City." Doug, they're always
not vile.
Innocent.
Yeah, innocent victims.
Big Al.
Oh, hello, Al. Hello,
what's
Al.
Up, boys?
Hi, Al. How are you?
Hold on a minute. Get down! My beagle just jumped up on the table and ate my bran muffin, I think.
Oh, no.
Hey, Timmy, God, don't block my son. Jeez, that was an international incident. He called me up in a panic. I thought he was in a car wreck. All flustered. I go, what happened? Timmy blocked me. I go, what'd you do, you idiot?
Yeah.
And then he told me, I go, you're an idiot.
Yeah, sure.
I go, let me call in one little favor and see what I can do. And I had to approach the crown and get him back in. So, Blake, I know you're listening, you moron. Don't mess with Timmy. I'm not doing it again.
Clip that off.
So, hey, Kat, how about that game last night?
He was making his way around the dais.
I was very impressed with what the Blues brought.
Tell you what, hey, all you morons out there talking about my buddy Jake Allen, get back in your crease. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Hmm. It's amazing when you have a little defense and Stasny and the rest of the clowns decide to show up in a Steen and play a little defense. Where's that at? Hitchcock's probably sitting on his couch eating a bun going, what the heck just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I have this team? I wouldn't be fired. So way to go, Blues. You shut them down and then start it right back up like a steam engine. Way to go, losers. You better keep it up all dang season long now. Stillman's tired of writing checks and you guys laying down like my beagle just now. I think when he ate my bran muffin.
Wait a minute. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell because it seemed like you're a Blues fan, but then you were kind of ripping away too.
Well, you know what, Kat?
What?
I am a Blues fan. I told Davidson, I told Chaser, I am the Blue Note. I was here before you got here, and I'll be here when you're gone, and I'm buried in it. So there.
Hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, you know, Kat, they did not put this effort out earlier.
Well, they had some independent contract work being done.
Well, yeah, you know what? I guess they joined the union. Way to go, Greitens. Is that right? The work's another moronic thing you did, and I'm a Republican more than you are. So, anyway.
You spent a lot of time between the pipes, though, yourself, didn't you? So you know what to look for in a pillow stacker.
I threw the waffle. I stoned him. I had people going around the net yelling that they scored, Doug, until they came out the other side, and I opened my glove and threw it down and looked at the ref and said, let's get this thing going. Shut up.
True story? True story?
Yeah, true story. Going around the net, yeah! Because I caught it right at the crease. And sure, you know, yeah! And you get their hands up. I go, hey, moron! I turn my glove over. I said, come on, ref, let's get going. Get back to the bench, yeah. You idiot.
You had a quick oven mitt.
True story. Yeah. Hey, Doug, guess yeah. what?
What?
We got... My company got the silver award from Boeing yesterday, one of only 300 companies worldwide for top performance.
What do you have to do to get a silver award?
Play golf. I actually was on the golf course when I got the call.
They got any openings there for someone else?
No. But Jay and I were happy as heck. He put a big bratwurst on for me. We celebrated out at Normandy yesterday. It was a heck of a day.
You played golf yesterday, did you?
Yes, sir, I did. You know it, Dougie. If it's over 50 degrees, this old man's out there working my tail off, getting awards and booking POs for my company from Boeing. I love you, Boeing. We build the best. Now I'm building rocket parts. So if you guys see a rocket
you're
go off, them. You better run.
It doesn't seem like you're building them. It seems like you're playing a lot of golf and eating brats.
Well, I am, Cap, but somebody has to do it, okay? I'm a silver award winner. I'm telling you right now, that's a hard thing to do, Cat. When you order it from us, we get her done, baby. I had a buyer that emailed me the other day, said, you're a great supplier. We place it and forget it. It's kind of like you, Kat, with your financials. People give them your money, and then they forget it. Literally forget it, because they never see it again.
How dare you, sir.
How dare you, sir. Wow.
All right, Big Al, we got
a good day. I love you guys all, and I hope to see you guys tomorrow night.
Bye, Big Al.
The hell's tomorrow night?
I don't know.
Crap, I'm going to make sure I stay home just on the off chance he knows where I'm going.
Maybe he thought it's another Thursday night at Hotshot somewhere.
Why don't we tell him it's like at the Wentzville location?
Well, he lives out that direction.
All right, O'Fallon, Illinois. He can
That's
hang out
better.
With Marcus.
Yeah. I think he lives in Lake St. Louis.
Touch me in
Selling
the
bowling parts.
Congratulations, one of only 300 to win.
Company's silver award winner. I've never won a silver award.
Then just walk away.
How many of us can say that we're silver award
Here,
winners?
Doug. Here's a silver award.
Touch me in the
now
morning.
Now you won it. It's garbage that one of the stars left.
Mm-hmm. My wife just got out of the shower, and before even drying off, she said, who is this idiot on the phone? He sounds stupid and is annoying. That comes from Dave Dravecki's left arm.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Doug, one thing that this gentleman can get his wife to make up for hearing Big Al on the radio, Sherry's Berries. Don't you agree, the cat?
Yeah, you know, oh. I mean, just let me, Doug, if
felt
I could
felt like
jump
we've
in.
Been doing this long enough for you to know that I passed you the ball.
Yeah. Finding your significant other the right Valentine's Day gift can be a struggle, especially if you're a schlub like me, a schlub like Doug. Right. Tim is great.
Right.
Can't go chocolates every year. One year I tried to do blues tickets. That did not go over well because it was sort of like a gift for me. That's why I'm trusting the experts at Sherry's Berries to help find the perfect gift. Gifts like no other for your love like no other. Valentine's Day is next week. Have you still not done anything about that? Don't wait until the last minute and end up giving an ordinary expected gift. A gift from Sherry's Berries shows her you planned ahead to find the perfect gift. And you're sure to get the reaction you want, not that look of disapproval when you hand over the blues tickets. Today only, you can get freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries and one dozen assorted roses for just $39.99 plus shipping. That's beautiful flowers and delicious berries. You just need my code to take advantage of this one-day deal. Type in morning after. These berries are dipped in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness, topped with chocolate chips, decorative swizzles, and chopped nuts. And you can surprise her at work. Her coworkers are sure to be just a little jelly, and she'll be overjoyed. With Valentine's Day right around the corner, here's the only way to get this incredible one-day deal. Freshly dipped strawberries plus one dozen assorted roses starting at $39.99. Just visit berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner and type in morning after. One word, morning after. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type in Morning After. This amazing deal is today only, so order now.
There it is. Sherry's Berries, a great sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And Doug, it's high time you support the sponsors. Bobby Plager going to be with us. It is the 8 o'clock hour, and it is brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient in Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. 314-432-5020. Send your emails in. Hot Shots email today. Free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots is the prize for your email of the day. Bobby Plager at 8:30. Nick Kyprios at 9 o'clock. Blues with the win last night, 6-0. Taking on the Leafs next in Lapton. And Bobby Plager is going to join us. We'll talk about the honor of last Thursday before the game. Looking forward to talking it over with Bobby Plager here. And about, Doug, I got it at, 4 minutes, you know. Yeah, 4 minutes.
Before he arrives on the scene?
That's right.
All right.
That's right. But that doesn't mean, what it doesn't mean is that we don't have time to hear from Tracy Morgan.
Right.
Doug, you've been saying, when are we going to finally transition. Hear from Tracy Morgan?
Yeah. Plowhawk has it. He was on Ellen and he was talking about a whole thing.
Was it? I mean, you got to understand, for a whole year I was on the couch. I couldn't do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I came, everything was working, I went crazy.
Sure.
I mean, our sex life is so hot. It's like volatile, you know? We role play. That's how we keep it hot. Like tonight she's gonna dress up like Black China.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna put on a fat suit and be Rob Kardashian.
Uh-huh. That's great.
Gotta keep it hot.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll go home and do that too.
You gotta role play.
Yeah, you gotta.
Doug, Tracy Morgan.
That just kinda came out of the blue there, didn't it?
Hot. Tim, that was hot.
On Ellen. Talking about role playing and how he, during his recovery, just lay on the couch and...
He was in that horrible automobile accident.
Yes, correct, and could not have the sex.
But now he's okay?
Yes, 100%? He is. Yeah, man. Yeah.
And role playing like the Dickens, apparently.
Yep. RPLTD, brother.
I really don't care about the role playing necessarily. I'm just happy to hear that he's okay.
Would it kill you guys to pronounce it Valentine's Day? That comes from Howard Hessman's head of the class, Rat Tail.
Why would we pronounce it that away?
It's just a request from the audience.
Okay,
Doug, when you're up with your Sherry's Reed, go ahead and throw in a Valentine's. Do it for the listener.
Valentine's.
Guys, can I... nope. Nope. See...
Some of them don't need to be read if they're vile.
Morning After wins a silver award for being a top 300 morning show, according to Jason Barrett.
Be nice to have just one silver award at some point. Big Al's bogarting the silver award.
Seems as if.
Seems. Just a bronze award wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Any award. I mean, for this show, any award.
A nice award would be nice.
Placard.
Yeah.
A ribbon.
Ribbon would be
okay. A medallion would be fine.
Yeah.
Jason Barrett just released.
Oh, no.
For heaven's sakes.
How many awards are there?
Well, it's like Big Al's thing. There's 300.
He thought of something else last night and came up with a quick list.
Well, these are his takeaways from his 2016 Top 20 series.
His personal takeaways from his personal list.
Yeah, this is like Coppola giving you his take after finishing off The Godfathers.
All right.
Doug, do you want to hear them?
Sure.
As far as this year's results are concerned, I do have a few takeaways I want to share. These were things that stood out to me during the process.
Oh, fascinating.
The decision to split up the major and mid-markets felt right.
This is real.
Sir, I read copy. That's all right. I do. Mm-hmm. Doug, the decision to split up the major and mid-markets felt right, and I'm glad we did it.
Okay.
Too often, regions get ignored and stand little chance of making noise against brands with outstanding heritage. This year, they were able to get a better sense of how they're viewed. And the major market shows received votes without the voters feeling obliged to ignore one or two of them just to make sure they offered some recognition to smaller market brands.
This is how you make it as a consultant. You just type out nonsensical stuff. You talk about brands and platforms and things like that. Then people say, boy, he's using the words. He must know what he's talking about.
Then you have a meeting. You put yourself on a real slick short-sleeve dress shirt. And you say one of the hosts has to be the deer, the other has to be the dork, and the third needs to be a doink.
Fox Sports Radio has done a magnificent job of rebuilding its brand.
How?
After what? Jim Rome left for CBS, there was a period of time where industry folks I spoke to weren't convinced the network was trending upward. Over the past 2 years, though, that perception's changed.
He's making it all up.
He got me a bathroom.
ESPN Radio remains in strong shape, but if the rumors of Mike and Mike split hold true, it could be an interesting time for the...
It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
That's hard-hitting commentary there. Hard-hitting.
Voters are very aware of what's been taking place in Boston.
I would think that the voters...
What voters?
All the voters.
What's taking place at WEEI?
And rewarded both 98.5 The Sports Hub and WEEI for their performances. Without question, Boston is the hottest sports radio market in the country, and the competition between the two brands is as intense as ever. To see each station earn respect for the contributions they're making to the format was a welcome sight.
Oh, brother.
The same story was true for 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, and 101 ESPN in St. Louis. All three stations ranked high with our panel of voters in the mid-market.
There's no panel. There is no panel. Let's get that very clear. It's just him. There's no panel.
I like the way you say him. Him. A panel. Him. Him. What you gonna do about him?
It's just him.
Him, 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 what you gonna do about him?
But you would have to get people that listen to sports talk radio all over the country. Nobody does that. Who's got time to listen to sports radio all over the country?
Well, Doug, it's GMs and program directors at different markets.
They don't listen to it either. They listen to their own. Occasionally, if they have an opening, they might listen to somebody's tape or something. That's it.
All three stations ranked high with our panel in the mid-market categories, which speaks to each of their abilities to penetrate their markets and create a dominant presence with local sports radio enthusiasts.
These are enthusiasts. Don't use the word enthusiast. These are just sentences that anyone could write. You hit the watchword. That's all.
He's got 1,500 people voting on this, buddy.
He doesn't.
The last section's important for on-air talent to remember. Doug, this seems like it's directed at you.
Okay.
There were a few hosts who reached out to express displeasure about not being on the list or eligible.
I'm sure they did. There were none. There were zero.
But as I stated numerous times, this wasn't a sports radio draft. Ooh, we got to do that. And it wasn't a case who'd get hired if executives had to make a business decision for their brands. This was simply about 2016's performance. You can't be mentioned as one of the best 25, 35 shows during the year if you only spent 3 months on the air. For example, Gary Sanchez was really hot in this summer for the Yankees.
And Sanchez was probably the first to complain.
No, he plays for the Yankees.
Oh. Well, he might still be whining about things. He's concerned about his brand and the use of multiple platforms and broadening our appeal to a wider base of an audience.
I want to penetrate the market and be dominant. You can email in the morning after InsideSTL.com. It's the Hot Shots email of the day. Right now, it is our absolute honor to be joined on the appliance discounter phone lines by the legendary Bobby Plager. Bobby, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you.
It is an honor to have you on the show, and I thought last Thursday night was just a beautiful ceremony that the St. Louis Blues and you and your family executed. When you look back on Thursday night, what moment stands out to you the most of so many great moments?
Well, I think it was at the end when they were raising the number five up, and I'm standing out there with my family and my brother Barkley's family, his wife and four children, and, watching your number go up, and all of a sudden it stops, and you wonder, oh no, did it break down? And then to see the spotlight going up and on number eight. And slowly, number eight coming down in the spotlight to come and get me. And the lights went on, and they are spotlights. And my brother Bart brought me up to the rafters. It was very, very special, and a lot of tears in my eyes and my family's eyes right at that spot.
I think everyone got the chills watching that. And I, as I understand it, that was brought up that maybe they could do something like that with the ceremony, and they said they couldn't do it, and they purposely kept that from you so you didn't know what to expect. Is that how it went down?
Well, that's how it went down. I know when they announced it was going to go up, sitting around with Mike Caruso and that, and jokingly, I says, oh, you know, it'd be nice, I says, if when they raise my number, if all of a sudden Barkley's number comes out first, and he pulls me up to the top and we can play. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. You know, jokingly, I said, this year would be nice. Oh, no, there's no way we can do that. That can't be done. So that was it. And to see how they did it, and, you know, the whole night, I'm just starting to come down now, but it was very, very special for me, and to sit there and listen to Mr. Stillman and especially Barrett Jackman, to hear what he had to say about the number five, and that he's very proud to warn it, and he's a very special person. I think I said it when it was there, him and Rob Ramage, they both wore number five, but they wore it the way I think my brother and I would want our numbers to be worn.
When you think of all the players and the front office people that have come through the organization over the span of half a century, there really aren't that many names up there in the Raptors. Did you ever think that yours might be one when you've seen some of these other Hall of Famers have their numbers raised?
No, you don't think about it, but the ones here in St. Louis, I look up all the time, not only because of my brother, but when you look up there and you see Bernie Federko and you see Brian Sutter, and you know, I had something to do with that. I had played with them, and when Brett Hall's up there, I was with Ron Caron. I was was involved with getting him here. So you look up, you look at those players, and you don't think of your number out there, but you look at those guys, and they bring back memories of, you know, some of the seasons, some of the things that happened. And I cut my speech a little short, but, you know, when I was looking up there, and you go on the road, and you see a lot of the sweaters sagging there. I look up at them all. I know some of them. I've heard about them, and I've always said, when you look up there and here, there's thoroughbreds. There's a bunch of thoroughbreds that are up there, and I'd like to thank St. Louis and it took St. Louis to put the Clydesdale up there with the thoroughbreds. You know, every team needs some Clydesdales, so it is special. I didn't think about it, but now to be up there with my brother, it's and to listen to the fans, and, you know, to go around, I mean, people here for years have said, you know, number five should be there. Number five should be there. But I was just so thankful and blessed to have played and done what I did in St. Louis.
Bobby, I think you mentioned this in your speech. I'm not so sure that people really got it. But when you get to the arena, you do talk to your brother's jersey, to the banner that's hanging, right?
Oh, I talk all the time. You get up there, you know, not only talk to him, I mean, you. Like I say, there's some nights the team is not good. You look over and say, oh, Bark, this is not good. Or what team is going to show up? And you know, I've had players up there, Jimmy Roberts and some of the other guys, Jimmy, when he comes up there. And when Noel was in town, we look at that. You know, the Blues alumni box is right behind. And Jimmy would even look up there and he'd, well, your brother's not going to be happy about this one tonight. And so, no, it's very special. I have talked to him. And every game, you talk to him. And so I said, now I can just lean over and whisper to him.
I know that you had a lot of time to prepare for this, and you didn't want to get too emotional because you wanted to deliver your speech, and it was great. Everyone says it was great. How difficult was that while you were, you know, saying the things you wanted to say to keep the emotions in check?
Well, you know, I went over... you know, I got prepared some things, but you put it down, and I think I went over the time limit that I was supposed to, so I cut it short. But when I come to my brother, I've never finished talking about my brother or a speech about my brother. I can never finish, and that's what I was really worried about. And when I was talking about him, people don't know, I did cut it short. I started to choke up a little, so there were some things I left out, and I cut it short and then went to my family. But he's very, as everybody knows, very special. And you know, what I tried to tell everybody is, that, you know, there's a reason why you're hanging there, and it's not all because of me or that, but people don't know in St. Louis, and they should Google Doug Harvey and Dickie Moore and Chuck Plante and guys like Al Arbour and Jimmy Roberts, and you sit in a dressing room with those players, and you sit, and we did for 2 years, just sit and listen to what they got to say and watch what they do. That's the reason why I'm up there, is because I sat in the dressing room with those guys, and I think anybody that sat with players like that should be very, and if they do listen and pay attention, they'll all be great hockey players.
You got to be an old timer like me to remember seeing some of those guys. I'm sure a lot of Blues fans, maybe most, are too young to remember your playing days, and there's not an awful lot of video out there of it. As a former personnel guy, former head coach, how would you describe yourself as a player?
Well, you know, when I started out, and it was Emil Francis and Doug Harvey, the little advice they gave me is when I was in the minor leagues and I was going up to St. Louis, and Emil gave me my first chance, it's, how do I play? As I was in the minor leagues, I battled to get up there. I became very good at throwing body checks. I cleared the front of the net. I took care of my teammates on the ice. I don't think I cheated anybody. I always believed you could win every game. And when I went to the National Hockey League, I was told, Bob, remember what gets you there. Don't change what gets you there. But if you want to stay, you have to improve on a lot of things, skating, shooting, knowing the game. And that's the way I'd like to think I played my whole career, is I never forgot what got me to the NHL. And I did throw body checks. I did clear the front of the net. I took care of my players on the ice. Plus, my game improved. I understood the game. I become a great passer, I think. And that's what the way I played the game. And I had a brother that played the same way. It's every shift. And I think the teammates, they love to have me on the ice. And I think when you're a good hockey player is when you get the cheers at home, and there was nothing better than going on the road and getting the boos, having them boo you. Because when they booed you on the road, my dad used to say, a boo on the road is like a cheer at home. It's when they stop booing you, then are you playing the game.
You know, your popularity goes beyond your playing days. It's kind of funny, you know, players come, players go, coaches come, they go. Bobby Plager has always been there, and I've heard it said a number of times, anytime you run into Bobby, you're going to walk away with a smile on your face because he'll tell you something funny or some kind of amusing story. You've reached so many people in St. Louis, the popularity that you have is undeniable. Where do you think that comes from? Why do you think to this day you are beloved?
Well, I think when you're young and you're a little kid in Canada and you're outside, you're skating on those outdoor rinks, and you do look up and you do say a little prayer, you know, oh, please let me get to the National Hockey, let me play in the National Hockey League. And that's your dream. And on the way up, you know, say, oh, if I get there, I'll, you know, I'll never forget how lucky I am. And you give back. What you do, you want to give back to the city. And that's, you know, that's what it is. I think I... very fortunate, very lucky to be here, and I like to think that we give back. And that's, you know, that giving back, that's from the old days too. And I talked about the Doug Harveys and the Dickie Moores, and that's the way it was. You sign every autograph when you come out of a building, they're there for you, and it's because of them you're up there. So you treat the people good, and that's what I like to do. And there's one other story I put. We got time here?
Yes, sure.
A few minutes. Okay, when I got to St. Louis, the St. Louis Blues come here. We stayed at the hotel, the Admiral Benbow, down in Oakland. But there was a place called Musial and Biggie's.
Oh, yeah.
A restaurant there. And we got in there. It's our first night in town while we were going out to eat. So well, there's a restaurant right beside. So we went in there to eat. Stan Musial, I think everybody had heard of him. But, you know, Stan Musial being from Canada, and just heard of him. But we walked in that door, and we went to sat down, and Stan Musial was in there. And he was over at our table, and he come over, and he talked to us. He took the time and spent it. Well, we would go back there quite a bit. He, you know, he was there just about all the time. But when my dad come down from Canada, took him over there, and he knew Stan Musial. Well, my dad was there with Stan Musial. Stan was so good. Over with my dad, signed pictures, signed baseballs. My dad just about every day ate there because of Stan Musial, what he did. And, you know, give. He was there for the people, signed autographs. And, you know, to see that, here's probably the greatest baseball player. There he is, and signing autographs. And my dad's in there. And when my dad went back home to Canada, you know, I phoned my mom after. I says, well, how'd Dad? What'd he say? He enjoyed the trip? to St. Louis. My mom says, yeah, did he go to any hockey games? He says, he's got everybody up here. He's got baseballs and pitchers at Stan Musial. He says, that's all he talks about. So I think you learn from Stan Musial. And I do. I have pictures in my car. I have something, and I see kids, and I go in a restaurant. If they're there, I go out and I get them a picture or something. But that's Stan Musial.
Nice. You spent much of your career rooming with Noel Picard, didn't you? Was he kind of an interesting guy to spend a lot of time with?
He was very interesting. He was great. And yeah, we were roommates just about my whole career here. And you love Noel Picard because when you talk about players, you know, taking care of one another. He loved my brother Bark, and nobody could touch my brother Bark on the ice, or Noel was going to be there punishing that person. And me, he took care of me on the ice. And, you know, he made us better players, too, because we had the freedom to do something, and we didn't worry about anything. And I always used to tell the story. I was, when I played with Noel Picard, I was about 6'4", 220 pounds. He made me that big. But that was on the ice. Off the ice, he was quite the character, too. We had a lot of fun. We drove Scotty Bowman crazy.
You'd probably get away with a little more back then, in the days when not everybody had a cell phone camera ready to take your picture if you went out.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I see what goes on now, and I see those phones, and I see what happens. And I wonder, would we be able to play now? All that stuff that's going on the way we were, and that was nothing. But now it is tough on the players, and it's, you know, you got those cameras and the people are around, and it is a lot different. And again, I don't know if I would be able to play because Noel and I, we might have broke the odd curfew.
Just the odd one, just every now and then.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Scotty Bowman, he hated that. Well, there's a place over there they called East St. Louis.
Yeah.
And never so. The boys come in, and Bob, where'd you guys go last night? And I said, oh, we just took a ride. We were in Western Illinois.
And he bought that, did he?
Well, he never knew what Western Illinois was.
Bobby, the Blues right now playing very well since they made the coaching change, back-to-back shutouts on the road. What do you make of what's going on with the team?
Well, to me, You know, as a player, and when they made the announcement, like Hitchcock was, it was one more year. He's going to be finished after this year and all this. Well, it's, you know, I'd never been there when I played with a coach. It's already been announced that he won't be here next year. And you give the players, I think, an excuse sometimes, too. If the coach gets out there and he's yelling and says things to you or that, you can probably look at him and say, huh, what do you care? You won't be here next year. Or what do you worry about? You're going to be gone next year. It's an excuse. And I think the players, it was a, and you've seen the way they played. They were a lot of talent. They played good, but some nights, I mean, I don't know what was going on. So if that was it, and you see right now, well, then you go out and prove that it was the coach. It wasn't you. But you have a lot of talent. We need the goaltending. That's the most important. And I think our goaltending has been shaky for a while. And, but it was, I'll tell you, those two wins now, they are big. They're big, big wins for us. And maybe that's the confidence we need.
You think this is going to be a playoff team?
Well, it is also tight. I think we're a playoff team. Again, it's the goaltending we need. But... You know, the young kids coming up, they're getting a chance to play, and they have to play them. You know, these kids, how many times we bring up offensive guys, top scorer, and they're playing on third line, or they don't play that much, but these kids are coming up now, and the coach has got them out there, and on the, you know, not just on the fourth line, they got them right out there in the top lines. And I liked a lot the other night when Tarasenko's line, with Steen and Stastny, you know, not that great a game in Philly. Played good, but not many shots. But he kept the lines together. You know, and we lose a game, it seemed, all the time, or something happened, and the lines all changed next day. Keep them together. Let them go for a while.
It seems like when you were playing, a lot of the lines stayed together for a long time. And, you know, you had lines in New York with the Rangers and the Bruins, they'd have the same lines for years. Is that one way the game has changed a lot?
Yeah, I think it is. And You know, you always keep the, like you have your lines. You change them once in a while. Scotty Bowman was great at that. Scotty Bowman, some games he'd have, because I would scout, he'd have 20 different line combinations out there, and he always thought that was great. But what he always had, two players, the same players were out there together all the time. Then he'd throw somebody out there. But it was just in the time of the game for a few shifts. And again, Scotty, I'd see him after, and I'd say, boy, 20 lines. Scotty, what do you do out there? He goes, well, you can't keep them together all the time. And he says, we're up in the game. And he says, and I thought, well, it's a good time for two shifts to try so-and-so on that line. He says, because you know you get injuries during the season. So when you have an injury and you put another guy in there, he's already played with them. So, but I like to see the three lines stay together for a while, let them go. You talked in New York, and that was a line that was put together for years, the gag line, goal of game, Hadfield, Rattel, and Gilbert.
Right, right, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, and Buffalo had their French Connection line with
that's right,
Perreault and Martin, and was it Dion, the other one?
Martin?
Yeah, Perreault,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, those are fun days.
Well, yeah, they were fun days, but they were tough to play against.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they were. Well, I think you were pretty tough to play against, too. Yeah. I don't think a lot of people like coming into the arena and seeing you guys.
No, when they come in here, they had their heads up.
Yeah. So, well, Bob, thanks very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you, and I'd like to thank, you know, if I could, all the people, all your listeners there, the fans here, just the fans, not just fans, people in St. Louis, they've been great to me, and again, this was, for me, great. For my family, unreal. And I'm very appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby.
Bobby Plager with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, talking it over about the incredible night that was his career as well. And that was just kind of like a little history lesson, and also a lesson in no matter for why he conducts himself the way he does. Cool story there about Stan Musial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Almost everybody in town back then had a Stan Musial story. My brother got an autographed picture of Stan the Musial by Stan when he was a little kid, 8 or 9, and he had that picture framed for years and years. He had that.
Jack Buck was that way, too, with his time.
Yeah, the two of them.
Yep, there are a lot of good role models in St. Louis for how to give a little bit back of yourself.
Yeah, none better than those two. Simpler time that people could just go into a restaurant and Stan Musial was there hanging around with him. I'm not sure any real superstar of the game could do that anymore without just being overwhelmed.
I do it at Kirkwood Brewhouse all the time.
Well, no, I said big sports superstar.
All right, you can have your own place.
And he answered your question.
Yes, I did. Thank you, Iggy. Love you.
So you're putting yourself on a level playing field with Stan Musial?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Okay, I mean, perhaps I'm wrong.
Maybe we'll take it to the people and see what they think.
All right.
We'll go on the fan page.
Who's a bigger star, Tim or Stan Musial? That's the question.
Maybe it's time for you that you roll up your sleeves and get yourself a restaurant. Doug's House of Crepes.
Ooh, I'd go.
The Crepery. Oh, wow. I don't think I could make a crepe.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Doug's House of Crepes. Your table is right over
and
here.
And just sit there and sign autographs like the Dickens.
Yeah. I don't play the harmonica. Get your own. Play the banjo or something.
Yeah, some other instrument for sure.
Doug, I have a signed picture of Tim hanging on my ceiling. It's not framed, though. I'm a big old fan.
It's disrespect to the picture.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to frame those.
Yeah. You better take care of them because it's not likely that you're going to get a second chance to have Tim sign anything for you.
Guys, I would say there are no two better role models in St. Louis today than the Cat and Doug. How about that?
Yeah, I think we're off base there. Yeah.
Patrick at Immaculata.
Well, thanks, school. Patrick, but I think he's being...
In the high rent district too, Doug.
Yes, it is. It's right there on, Clayton Road?
Just because you're old doesn't mean you're a role model.
No, it's not.
I think we're grandfathered in just because we're
right.
And that reminds me, the St. Gabriel 7th grade tournament gets underway this week.
Who won it again this year?
No, I said Gabe's? It gets underway.
Yeah, and my question remains, how many years in a row has St. Gabe's won it?
Those are serious charges.
Who are the lucky kids this year that get the banner up on the gym? Oops, scoreboard malfunction. We thought for sure that St. Gabe's was ahead.
I think they're repainting the gym, and it's a whole thing.
Why is it a whole thing?
Because they had to take all the championship banners down.
How many?
66? Well, however many years they've been hosting this 7th grade tournament, that's how many banners there'd be.
Hey, these are city championships.
Yeah.
Hey.
There's a lot of McKernans up there. Not me. But yeah. A lot of McKernans.
I'm sure that those kids from St. Gabriel's, they play the best basketball that's played anywhere in the city.
Ooh, clip that off. Cal Kennedy has texted me. He said there's 44 banners up there.
Okay, so for 44 years, they've been hosting this particular 7th grade
tournament. No, these are city championships.
Yeah.
God, that's like walking into Pauley Pavilion, isn't it?
Not so much.
Would that be CYC championships?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Magdalene never won any, so.
Really?
Well, the refs were on the up and
well,
up
we
there.
Had to play St. Gabe's. We had no shot.
Right. They got the officials in their back pocket.
Serious charges. Just serious charges.
We've had some of them on the air here, and they've pretty much, you know, they've all but confirmed it. They get checks. They cash checks. Teams win games.
Matt Graves has texted me. He says he's on the banners, obviously.
Is he? What'd he do?
He's a champion.
For what? What sport?
For winning.
Thank you.
That's how you win a championship. You win.
Yeah.
I said it.
Greg Vaughn's 8th grade team at St. Catharines almost won the city-county championship. They played in the championship game of the city-county
basketball?
Baseball. This baseball, is baseball right. Championship.
Your son's not pulling the ball.
Greg, he will not pull the baseball. He is pitching. Now, a lot of the kids on city-county baseball teams aren't your all-star players. That's where you go when you don't really have a select team. You're not on a travel team. But there was 3 or 4 of them that would come and play. They were eligible because, you know, they went to the school. So they could play on a second team. Right. And they'd go and just have fun with the CYC team. My son included. He was off playing 70 games a year somewhere else. But he'd join his school friends with a couple other guys off his team and play City County. So they tended to be the better players. So they get to the championship game. Greg Vaughn is pitching in the... It's tied up in the 7th inning.
You only play 7 innings, boy.
In fact, I think it might have even gone to extra innings tied.
Bonus frame.
And Greg Vaughn is pitching.
Nice. This is awesome.
And he's pitching pretty well, striking most of the guys out because a lot of them aren't you know, what you would call a high-caliber player. And I forget the school they're playing, but a kid comes up on their team, and it's like he has cerebral palsy or something. I mean, this kid can barely walk, and he's out there playing baseball. And Greg Vaughn walks him. To lead off the bottom of the 8th.
Did he IBB him?
No. He tried to strike him out, but somehow walked him. Not only can he not pull the ball, he can't throw a strike when he really needs it.
Oh, boy.
So they lead off.
Father.
They lead off the bottom of the 8th inning.
Great Santini.
Bottom of the 8th inning.
Scored a few.
Championship game. And this kid with cerebral palsy walks and hobbles down to first base, and everybody's cheering for him because it's like maybe he's never gotten on base before. So the next guy... like bunts or something, they get the guy over to second, and then there's another fly out, and somehow the guy advances to third, so that there's a kid who can barely move, and he's on third base with the winning run for the city county championship, and the next hitter for this other team gets a base hit, and this guy with cerebral palsy limps home, barely can get home on his own with the winning run, and the other team is just hysterical. People are in tears. People are cheering for this team. They come out and they carry this guy up. I'm sure it's the highlight of his life. So, you know, my son was the one who kind of, you know, was on the mound when the other team scored. And yet we were all standing and clapping because we'd seen this story of this kid who could barely play. They probably didn't want him on the team. Gets on base, scores the game-winning run to win the city county
championship. This is a lovely story. I figured there was some punchline somewhere, and it just sounds like a lovely story.
It was. It was the one time when my kid didn't win that I was really kind of happy that they didn't.
And I'll bet because, he was kind of happy, too.
Well, they had a hard time being really mad. They were upset because they thought they were going to win it. They thought they had a chance to win this big thing, and that's when you're playing 8th grade CYC baseball, that's what you play for, is that moment to win that championship, and they didn't, and that was the kid that was able to score the game-winning run that won the championship for him.
It's a great story, Doug. Great.
Look at you. You're a storyteller. How come you didn't do a story on Sports Sunday?
Well, we didn't have the cameras there.
Mm. Yeah, you could have done artist rendering.
Right.
Well,
I like that Tom Brady courtroom
right there. Yeah, it was kind of a neat moment, though.
And I'm sure your son, instead of you talking about the time he won a game or actually did something good, you never give him any credit. Yeah, you know, and he loves you. That's the sad part. He told me.
Yeah,
he really loves you. But all you do is ridicule him.
How about pulling the ball once?
Doug, just for the record, Cal Kennedy says old banners at St. Gabriel's will be auctioned off and new banners are going to be made.
Auction him off? To people that are on the banner and want to put them in their basement or something?
I don't know. I think they're just fans of St. Gabriel's, so it'd be pretty cool to have one of those banners. Wouldn't you like one of the banners at Old Busch Stadium in your house? Wouldn't that be cool?
At Busch Stadium, sure.
Yeah, well, this is the same thing.
At my grade school, not so much.
It's just a different fan base, Doug.
I don't need a Tillman Elementary School banner.
You know what the common denominator is? Passion for their team.
Thank you, the cat. You understand. Hey, we got a break. That closes out our 8 o'clock hour, and it's brought to you by Sildenafil. The same active ingredient in Viagra offering the same results, but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. We'll take a break. Nick Kyprios is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour, plus your emails, Hot Shots email of the day. Big day today here on the show. Not only have we been joined by Bobby Plager for a great interview, but also talked about Mae Young giving birth to a hand in the 7 o'clock hour. So a lot to cover in the Hot Shots email of the day. We'll look forward to those in about 50 minutes. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.